Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided tour through the junk drawer of one man's brain. That brain being mine. I'm John. Hi. Welcome. Today we have a guest co-host with us who you may remember from prior episodes. Finch, say
hi.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Finch.
Finch, how are you doing lately? What have we been up to?
Good. I've been on antibiotics for too long.
Oh no. What, define too long?
For like 3 weeks.
That's a long time to be on antibiotics.
Three different types of antibiotics.
That ain't good. I hope that it is nothing life-threatening.
No.
So you seem up and ambulatory, so I doubt it is all that scary.
Hopefully it's getting better.
Oh, good. Shit.
It gave me a rash.
I'm
going to tell everybody on the podcast about my rash.
You know, listen, yeah. I'm not here to police your topics. You talk about what you want to.
That's all.
Just have a rash. You know what? That's fair.
It's
fair.
Just a little tiny rash in my armpit.
It's unpleasant. I can well imagine. I have not had any rashes lately, to my knowledge. But you know, I mean, one never knows, right? A man may itch.
May you not get a rash.
Thank you. Our guest this week is a friend dear to both of us, James.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, James.
I have lately been afflicted with a rash.
Oh, no.
You too.
Of bad luck, that is.
Oh, shit.
I have had just the worst luck to the point where things that happen are only minor inconveniences. I literally fall to my knees and scream to the heavens, I did this.
That sounds amazing.
Though. I was telling Fish about it. Missed two flights to come here. I'm here for work.
Yes.
Just in case you felt important.
You know what? I did a little bit.
I took the time to come and visit. Yeah, good. But I scheduled a flight so that I could have like a full day, and so I was like, I'll get a morning flight. I'm an early riser.
Yes.
I stayed up all night watching TV and hanging out with my lady and.
It happens.
Cuddling dogs and...
You know...
I don't really regret it, but then I woke up, you know, 2 hours late and my flight was, like, literally taking off.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Picture me opening my eyes and then, like, it cuts to, like, stock footage that the movie uses of just, like, that one 737 taking off.
You drop to your knees and you scream to the heavens.
Well, no, because that was the beginning. Instead, I went upstairs and I screamed to the travel agent. And this was for work. Otherwise, why would you use a travel agent?
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I called 1978 and they told me that... You know, I could get a 9 o'clock, which was still... Now I have to rush out the door, and then I missed that one, too.
Indeed. Mm.
Yes,
indeed.
I missed that one, too. And I get mad. And then I sign on my trivia league. I have lost today's round, despite scoring more questions right than the other person.
What?
That makes no sense.
There's a rabbit hole to go down about defensive scoring that I will spare you from.
But thank you.
Thanks.
But then I get... You. Totally wrong. And then I get here. I've had one work day so far, and then I missed one Caltrain to come up here, and then I missed the second one by like literally 15 seconds. Like running, you know, freaking Anne Hathaway's leaning out waving to me or whatever.
Right.
I'm like, no!
As she does.
You know,
does.
And I, you know, and then it goes sepia, and I fall to my knees. And I go, no, good job! And you think about all of the little tiny delays that you did.
Right. Here. Oh, yeah.
I took too long to pay the cabbie. I did. I was like, do I have enough to not break a 20? I could be here with an awake Finch if I had not tried to break a 20.
You know, I mean, I think it worked out for the best because it enabled us to coordinate a burrito order in perhaps the most efficient way possible. Such that by the time you arrived, I would have, Finch called in the burrito order. I picked it up and I walked it from the burrito place to here.
Yeah.
And then you were both here within, you know, 90 seconds of each other.
It was...
And then we had burritos in our mouths.
It was an incredible act of perfect coordination.
Yeah.
For which I think we should be celebrated.
Yep. Thank you for seeing the real moral of my story, which is not that I screwed up and don't have a good sense of time. and got a run of bad luck, but that I am the bringer of...
You're the enabler of burritos.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Going to go for something a little more high-minded.
You are the enabler of coordination.
I bring ancient and classical proportion to the universe. But, like...
There we go.
In the form of burritos, exclusively.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
I am with it.
So, you know, yeah. That's me. Rash. That's my rash.
It's again, not the most fortunate rash with which to be afflicted, but you know what?
My rash might be less irritating than your rash.
Yeah.
That seems possible.
But my rash is on both armpits.
And on that note, I believe it may be time to begin the show. So for those of you who are unaware of the premise of the show, it's that I have been writing down all the stray ideas that I've had for the past literal decade. And there are hundreds of them, and I've accumulated them all in one spreadsheet, to which I am giving my friends access so that they can sort of look through it. We can talk about the ideas and see if there's anything in there worth doing. And if you hear something you like, maybe you should do it. In fact, definitely do it. I just want credit and a cut. James, have you found something you would like to discuss?
Oh, gosh. Healthy booze.
Ha. Ah, yes.
Hmm.
Has anybody ever actually given healthy booze a shot? A shot. I was going to say it, and I decided not to because I thought...
You could have gone for the old college try.
Ah, that's true, yes. Has anybody made an attempt? No, but seriously, though, I mean, like, we've in the post-Four Loko age, right, we have... I mean, we've already given caffeinated booze a try. But, like, actual nutritive booze...
All booze is healthy.
I mean, to some extent... No.
Oh, all booze is healthy. You know how they say celery is healthy, right? Because, you know, you spend more calories consuming it.
Ah, indeed.
If you consume booze in the correct way, you'll end up blowing a lot more calories than you took in.
It is true.
Both in just running to things, from things, from people to people.
To the bathroom, throw up.
Throwing up, and then there goes more. There goes more.
Exactly.
There goes
more. It's a way to detoxify.
So I think healthy booze is really, you know, it's... What we're talking about is encouraging people to do non-intuitive things that are actually really good for you, like screwing your life up.
It's true.
It basically just sounds like you're doing a juice cleanse, but you add vodka to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
Basically, yeah, you take some Odwalla superfood,
yeah,
and you just add enough booze to make it, like, to get you fucked up, and then you just drink that instead.
Well, if you're on a juice cleanse, then it won't take very much.
Cleanses, the value of cleanses has already been proven to be nothing.
Yeah. I think the value of cleanses is in proving to yourself you can do something kind of arbitrarily hard.
That actually,
I see a lot of people benefiting from that.
That's probably the only benefit that they have.
And that's the benefit of ridiculous drinking binges. Because it's actually much more honorable if you know it's a bad idea. When you're young and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to do this because I'd rather not write a paper.
Mm.
You know, that's stupid. That's quotidian. Screw that guy.
Indeed.
Whoever he is or was. But if you are deeply aware of the consequences, and you do it anyway, because you know it burns calories.
Yes.
Because you know it's going to keep you humble.
Mm.
That's honest living. That's crackerjack. I'm telling you now.
I think you might be right about that,
you know what,
sir.
With that in mind,
oh, yes. Oh, very good. Very good. Have you found another idea that we should perhaps discuss?
I have.
Yes.
Wouldn't you know it?
Yes. Well, yes, that's true.
Don't you think that there should be a word for the emoticon or the string of emoticons?
Mm.
And I think in this case we might be meaning emoji that someone would use that would guarantee you do not have sex with them.
Ah, yes. This, okay.
It's possible to screw up emoji so bad, maybe even worse than words.
It's true. I think in this case what I was thinking of was just, well, this is not the first emoticon that has come up in... on this show.
Okay.
And like, I do mean emoticons, just in the sense that, like, there must be, like, some...
You have to put it together from...
Text. Some concatenation of ASCII.
Okay, gotcha.
That means don't sleep with this person.
Oh, I see. Oh, like a hobo tag.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's actually something people should start to do.
Yes.
Like, Tinder dates should start to do that. They should start to, like, leave little signals in the bedrooms of the people that they slept with and regretted it.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's a really good advice.
I wasn't exactly sure where...
I wouldn't notice if somebody did that.
Yeah.
But it can't be the bedroom, maybe. It should just be like, well, you know, the holotags, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So it'd be on there.
It's like a shadow mark in Skyrim.
No, you check the, it's exactly like that. So you check the sidewalk, you know? It's
oh,
like
that
maybe,
could be.
You know, maybe it's just like a little, very short line.
So you have to jackhammer up the sidewalk and repave the sidewalk in front of this person's house after you have sex with them because you met them on Tinder and you had sex with them and you thought it was terrible.
Or shock.
And then, but that washes off too easily. I like my idea better.
In San Francisco, it would remain for quite some time. Uh-huh. Because, like, it washing off would require that there be rain, and we just haven't had rain. Right.
But if there was some sort of rune, you know,
yes,
like a glyph that you'd leave in real life to say, like, don't fuck this person.
Yeah, yeah.
Something of theirs.
I'm not actually sure what the original implementation of my don't sleep with this person emoticon was, but I like this rune idea.
Well, because, you know, sex is one of the last few things that we still mostly do in real life.
It's true.
And so I feel like an emoticon would be, I guess, are you texting somebody tomorrow? You know?
Yeah.
It's just there's fewer uses for the emoticon in my imagination.
Yeah,
I've been off the market for years. I don't know how it works.
No, I don't know either. I myself went off the dating market right before Tinder hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no knowledge of how any of that works, and I'm so fucking glad.
Yeah. This is a really great group for talking about dating.
I'm having a great time. All right. Do not sleep with this person, emoticon. I like it.
I think just a really short line that goes down a little bit.
There should be, yeah, something. I'm not exactly sure. I envisioned like some combination of X's, like upper lowercase. Like really, honestly, I had no clue.
What do you think?
Because there are probably different reasons why not to sleep with somebody.
Oh, God.
As
well, that's the thing, right? Like, there's the hobo tag for you'll get oatmeal, but you have to listen to things about Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around how you can actually implement it physically in a place.
Yeah.
So somebody else could see it and you wouldn't have to...
Be warned off somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, like, in order for it to work, it needs to be injected into the vernacular, right? So, like, if then, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It would have to be a secret language that...
Bathroom.
It's
gotta be the bathroom.
Yeah.
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 It's gotta be in the bathroom.
Oh, it'd be like a registry of some sort, actually, that hangs in the bathroom.
No, they... I thought you were going to say, like, a registry on the internet. People have tried those.
Yeah, a registry of people with sex problems on the internet.
That doesn't...
Yeah.
It doesn't end
well. It doesn't seem like it would.
Maybe if we treated everyone who's in that thing like they were the same level of horrible, that would also be a really good idea.
I do that about everybody.
Well, that's fair enough.
That is fair.
But I mean, you know, I clearly there has to be some coordination, and this is sort of a war of counterintelligence.
Yes.
As the terrible lays who want to keep getting laid
right.
discover what the signal is,
right.
they will hide it, remove
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Another possibility is that they could figure out how to have sex better, but I think that's the least likely one.
Yes, agreed.
And we'll have to keep changing it up. I say we because clearly, all of us
yes, all
would
of us
be
in
the
room.
Camp of people.
And everybody listening to this show.
Yeah.
Yes, no, definitely. We'd be on the inside.
Things you have to use it right. Because sometimes it can be bad, right? But just between the two of you, it didn't work.
Yes.
So you don't want to leave the mark. You only leave it when it's like no one would enjoy sex with
you. Yes, that's true. An objectively bad lay.
How do you even know that? I feel like, you know, most of my, you know, sex that hasn't been with people who I'm like super, super close with, you know, has been when I was young.
I love
young.
How you just gestured at John as if you had had a sexual relationship with him for all of you.
I'm starting to talk with my
see
hands.
This.
Yes,
because
no,
this
that's
is
fair.
A podcast.
Well, I talk with my hands a lot as well.
Yeah, but you know, most of it has been young enough that I think the primary emotion you feel is gratitude.
Yes,
and so you don't normally, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true. I'm trying to think back to mine. So my sexual history, as it were. I'm just trying to think, like, are there any that I would be like, that I'd want to actively warn others away from? There's at least one I can think of.
I think there's at least a few who I know would have put this rune on my bathroom door.
Oh, you mean they were...
Oh, for you?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Like, and that's what I think about, is that there are people with whom it didn't work.
Oh, no.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I probably would have some people that would put out on my bathroom.
Yeah, that does seem likely for me as well.
So, but that's the thing, right? If we're a brotherhood of people, or, you know, brother and sisterhood, I'm sorry.
Brothers and sisters and variations thereupon.
A personhood.
Yes.
If we're a hood.
Yes.
If we're a gang.
We can be a gang. I like it.
If we're a horde of people who are increasingly developing like a societal understanding of the casual sex landscape, seems like that's what things like Tinder and like sex advice columns are kind of all starting to do.
Yes.
Everyone has these expectations that are sort of starting to permeate across all the millennials or whatever.
Yes.
Like, maybe even if you hated sex with this person and you're mad at them, there's like a sort of a taboo would develop. Like, don't misuse the nuclear option rune.
Oh, yes.
Don't misuse that rune. This rune is for people who need to be deprived until they learn something.
Got it. And not just sort of like, yeah.
Fuck with this rune, man, because it will fuck with you. It will be karmic.
That's, yes.
And I think there's a degree of that. Like, there's still things that in a culture that old people would call totally amoral, there's really strong morals, right? There actually are really strong morals. They're just different ones.
Yes, I agree.
There's stuff like honesty and sexual egalitarianism and give and take and give and get. And
agreed.
You know. But all these things are really strong, so don't write the secret rune. Could become,
unless you absolutely have to.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is my way of saying it's a good idea.
Yes.
A good idea.
Excellent.
John.
Thank you.
You had a good idea.
I think maybe I just thought of what you can do instead.
Yes.
Oh, you can just tweet about it.
Okay, so that actually is the answer to most of the rows in this spreadsheet.
You can just tweet about it.
Yeah. That's highly possible. Listen, this spreadsheet was begun in the era before Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's highly possible.
You're supposed to. Make it your AIM profile.
Make a live journal.
Make it your plan file.
Wow. I haven't had a plan file in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a long time.
Here's the thing. You do have one.
Oh, God.
Deep down in one of your accounts somewhere.
Oh, no.
Dot plan.
I don't like to... No, that doesn't seem possible.
There's a quote of the day. There's a quote of the day.
I think we have time for maybe one
more. Are
there
fat Vulcans?
This was my question. This was the question. Are there fat Vulcans?
Yeah, are there fat Vulcans?
I don't know.
I mean, the original Spock at the end there, he was a little plump.
That was the uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
Those uniforms are really plumping.
Yeah. I mean, like, because, look, it has been established that there are Vulcans of other races, right? I mean, like, there's black Vulcans.
Yeah.
Right? But whether or not there are fat Vulcans, I don't... Because, like, I would imagine that Vulcans would consider it illogical in some fashion to be fat.
Why?
I don't know.
It's super logical to be fat. It's extremely logical.
They come
to be
from
fat.
A desert planet. So, like, it's hot there all the time. And I feel like if you're a fat person...
And scarce.
Yeah. Like, you don't... You know what I mean? Like, it's just uncomfortable.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But not at night.
Shit. Okay, no, that's true.
Yeah.
So, is it possible then that like, there are fat Vulcans, but there are nocturnal people?
Here's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Just like... Oh, my God. You know, it's a podcast, but I just got a reaction to the phrase, here's what I'm thinking, from you. Just this defeated slump. Just resigned to the inevitability of my talkings. that I remember so well, and I missed it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Sorry. And so, no, I get plenty of it, you know, at home, but it comes in different forms to different people.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And it's well deserved.
I wish to hear your thinking.
There are fat Vulcans because we only ever see like a tiny, tiny sliver of privileged, extremely privileged Vulcans, and this is true of almost all of the Trek folks that we see. This is something that occurred to me too, is that like Klingons have billions of like Klingons. They would have to because they have millions of ships,
sure,
and they have the firepower. They have lots of resources.
Sure.
Vulcans seeded the whole galaxy and first contacted, like, you know, everyone in the who's who. And they have ships, you know, and they have enough to build, like, giant spires and, you know, like, keep themselves in lyres and stuff. And
it's true.
So that means that they have a population sufficient to do that. We never see those folks because Star Trek is basically Game of Thrones, like, in that it's only about, like, the very richest people who history records.
Indeed. Indeed. Although, technically speaking, they are post-scarcity. So
who somehow are beautiful and amazing and thin and fit and wonderful.
So this is Star Trek that we're talking about.
Yes.
And, like, I'm not just doing the, like, what if radicalism in Star Trek bit? I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that, like, Klingons only expose, like, a very aristocratic layer to the outside world. There were probably all these Klingons that did not give a fuck about honor. That were, like...
That does seem possible.
Like, juggalo Klingons, you know? Just, like, they just loved each other. And, you know, and the same with Vulcans. There are probably a lot of Vulcans who are like, yeah, you know what's logical? Fucking shutting up about how logical things are.
But then they ended up being the Romulans.
Well, but see, again, those were the guys that made a deal out of it. They had to have, like, a shoulder pad thing happen to it.
Deviousness.
I just think a lot of Vulcans just hung out. And we're like, yeah, Vulcan, infinite diversity, comedy, fine.
That's a thing that I've mentioned to my friend Michael a few times, how much I really enjoyed on Deep Space Nine, that you learn a lot more about Bajoran culture and the world and places and how, like, commerce and their religion and all of that shit than you do about pretty much everybody else.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, you know, DS9 was in orbit.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, yeah. Well, I mean, it lived in the system. It was
Yeah, but that's the strange thing. You're absolutely right that it stood out to me, too, actually, now that you mentioned it. And I had forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you always felt like, God, a lot more Bajoran stuff. What's going on? This is like a way station in the middle of space. That's how they sold it. It's like a saloon. Everyone's coming through. But also there were, like, a bunch of things happening.
But there's the townies. I mean, the Bajorans are the townies.
The townies.
And you learn a fucking lot about those people. Yeah, that's true.
Like, you don't really know that much about Romulan commerce. You just know that they're cranky motherfuckers.
Cranky and
Romulans.
Sneaky.
And sneaky.
Romulans.
That's their whole thing.
It's pretty thinly depicted, I would say.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so
that's true. That is true of all, I mean, you know, TV drama.
Because some writer or another fell in love with some race, right? Like, Ronald Moore gave us the actual Klingons, who they were. Like, it was season 3, he did the bonding, and he was like, okay, now we're going to get into how Klingons are interesting instead of just...
Who was responsible for all the Ferengi episodes in DS9?
And that was Ira Stephen Baer.
Ah, yes.
He fell in love with the Ferengis because, have you seen him interviewed?
No.
He's a Ferengi. And he's just straight up, I'm sorry, I... We're tribe, I get to call him a Ferengi. He wore purple round John Lennon sunglasses to a TV interview segment.
Oh, I think I may have seen some footage of that guy. No, that seems fair.
And then someone, the name I don't know, fell in love with the Bajorans. And someone fell in love with some dumb crap in Voyager. You know, but the Romulans never got any love. Somebody likes a bunch of writers.
They tried in Nemesis. They did not succeed.
I wouldn't call that love.
No, I mean that. Yeah, let us not speak of Nemesis.
Like, that's Lenny and the Mouse love. That's
I choose to strike all mention of Nemesis from the records of Trek. This is my personal canon. I'm just putting this out there.
John's been quiet a while.
All right.
Fat Vulcans.
fat Vulcans.
They're there, and they don't give a fuck.
I like it. I think that is... here's the thing. That possibility cannot be logically excluded.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah.
Good point.
I get it. Do.
It is now time for a terrible recommendation. Does anybody here have one that they would like to give to our listening audience?
I can't think of one right now.
No?
Mm-mm. Have you guys... heard about this baby feet thing?
Yeah, I've done a baby foot.
Oh, God, you've done... Okay.
I did a baby foot.
Oh, God. All right, I have to know. Is it as horrifying as it looks?
Mine wasn't that terrible, because I... what's it called?
I exfoliate
with a pumice stone pretty regularly anyway. But I just have these weird calluses on my feet. I'm just going to tell everybody about my weird body problems. I did baby foot, and it was fun because I like my skin peeling because I'm one of those weird people. I like sunburn.
For those of us who, for those out there who don't know.
No, don't do this. Don't do this. This is so beautiful. I'm starting to get it through context clues, but I'd rather get it slower than I'm getting it right.
I understand. I mean, actually, you know what? Would you like to explain it to us as you understand?
Yes, babyfoot is absolutely. Babyfoot is a trick that was discovered in North Korea that made its way out via expatriates, where it was discovered that you can have absolutely extraordinary skin quality if you put an extremity in a microwave oven and then jam a fork into it and microwave yourself for just 3 or 4 seconds, like on a low setting. 3 or 4 seconds, look away, put a book in front of your face, all right, and you have incredible skin. Incredible. But usually, you know, you can only do it with a hand and a foot. Mm. And most people who try to do it with a hand, their head gets too close, their eyes melt, we never hear about it. So it's the baby foot that got popular.
I see.
Yeah,
that almost makes sense for possibly what that could do to the skin on your foot.
It's true. Would you like to give an alternate explanation of what baby foot treatment is?
A made up one, or what it actually?
Let's the listener decide.
Are we doing? Wait! Don't tell me.
No. We're
not. Okay, baby foot is you take this plastic bag that's full of this weird gel.
And where do you get the gel?
It comes preloaded in the plastic bag.
It's a treatment you can buy from
baby
like beauty
foot is
centers.
A product.
It's a product.
Yeah.
It's not just what happens to your foot.
Okay.
It's the name of the product. So you buy this thing, and it's these two plastic bags that are shaped like little boots, and they're clear. And you slip your feet in them, and you squish the gel around, and it feels really weird. And you tape them around your ankles so you don't squish gel around, and if you try to walk to the bathroom to wash your hands afterwards, it's very dangerous because you have plastic bags full of goop on your feet, and you have to sit that way for an hour, and it starts to tingle and makes you wonder if it's doing something bad and if you're having a bad reaction to it on your body. At least that was my experience.
Oh, yeah, and like a nicotine patch.
And then you take it off and you wash it off. You soak your feet. You have to soak your feet first in warm water to soften the skin. And then you soak your feet again afterwards. And then a few days later, mm-hmm. all of the dead skin on your feet starts sloughing off.
It takes days?
It takes days, and then it takes weeks for it to completely fully happen.
Okay, so this is basically like a chest burster.
The pictures of it online are horrific. It's just like layers of... it's like...
Obviously that's satisfying. I get it. That's amazing. Totally super satisfying. Of course, I would probably end up tearing off a toe.
You're not... Yeah, you can't pick at it.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And so I'm not doing it. I mean, there's maybe like two reasons I'm not doing it, maybe three. That's probably the main one.
Yeah, wow. It looks so horrifying.
You're very brave.
I mean, my feet felt the same.
Yeah.
I mean, because my thought on this is just that, like, I actually kind of enjoy that my feet are a little toughened. It feels like I've got armor. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I'm a tough person. I'd be ready for the collapse of civilization. That's just me.
I had a restless night and set fire to my bed sheets once, so I feel differently. It gets crazy, you know, and then eventually it starts to crack when it gets too callous. So I'm interested in this. Of course, I think I might try the little fishy one first.
Indeed.
The little fishies.
Fish.
Yes, the fishies.
Oh, the fish that the eat fish. The stuff off your feet.
And you just see little nibbles, little tickles. Little fishy tickles.
Mm.
There's one full release fish that swims up.
Oh, no.
It just sucks on your toes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
One full release fish.
And on that note... I believe we are done with this episode.
Like an eel.
I can be found online on Twitter. I am Ferocious J.
He's like,
and I'm not thinking about this
like,
eel.
Hey.
I'm definitely not thinking about this eel. I'm on Twitter at Ferocious J. The word ferocious, the letter J.
You feel a spark between us?
Oh God!
Aww.
No.
I'm on the internet as Finch Linden. One word in most places.
I am featured at SeaWorld on every other Thursday.
Outstanding. Outstanding. This has been Idea Factory Giveaway. And remember, if you like any of the ideas that you've heard and you want to do it for yourself, go ahead. I just want credit and a cut. Thank you.